Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
To commence my discussion for this evening, I would like to read first of all from the book of Job, chapter 34, beginning from verse 31. Eli was the one speaking here, one of Job's friends who had come to console him after Job had suffered many things because of the affliction that the devil brought upon him. And I remember that I talked about this Job matter, that God never emphasized the matter of Satan in the life of Job, but God emphasized the relationship between him and Job, in which he said, "This is a man that walks uprightly and turns away from evil, and that there is no one like him." And I said that Job was not aware that somebody was after him called the devil, but he was more conscious about walking in a manner that is pleasing to God. Now, when he had suffered his afflictions, a number of his friends came to see him, and one of them, Elihu, was here speaking. And later on, God showed that Elihu was the one that spoke real wisdom to Job. And in verse 31 of chapter 34, Elihu said, "For has anyone said to God, 'I have borne chastisement or chastening, I will offend no more'?" In verse 32, very important, listen to this, said, "Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more." Now, let me read something else again, also from this Job 35, from verse 9. Elihu was still speaking. He said, "Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, 'Where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven?'" He said in verse 12, "There they cry out, but he does not answer," that is God, "because of the pride of evil men." He says, "Surely God will not listen to empty talk or empty cries, nor will the Almighty regard it." Now, what was Elihu saying here? It's the same thing I've been trying to explain, talking on this matter of the power of death and the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Now, see, talking about this, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, there are two ways by which people can perish for lack of knowledge, or how wrong knowledge can destroy people. There are those who have things and don't know they have them, therefore what they have doesn't do them good. That is, maybe somebody was supposed to pay you money, and your bank failed to notify you according to the text message that you were expecting, that money had been paid into your account. Therefore, maybe $25,000 was paid into your account, and you did not know. And here you are, very broke. You're supposed to make a payment of something that was very important for $15,000, and you thought you didn't have money. And you were going from one place to the other, trying to borrow, not knowing that $25,000 had been credited to your account. That is, you are perishing for lack of knowledge. That is another kind of knowledge that makes people perish. And that is the fact that somebody may think he has something when in actual fact, he doesn't have it. For example, you may discover that money had been wrongly credited to your account and you did not know that it was not your money. And later on, the bank reversed the transaction. But unfortunately for you, you had gone to issue checks based on money you saw in your account, not knowing that that was a wrong crediting. Therefore, when the checks finally hit the accounts, they bounce. It's called perishing again for lack of knowledge. That is not having true knowledge, in that you had knowledge that was not accurate. I'm bringing out something here. What you experience in life actually is so dependent upon the accuracy of the knowledge that you have. There are many things that God has done for us, and that's what I've been trying to explain. That if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered from the power of Satan. Satan does not have power over you. You do not need to wake up every day fighting him. No, you don't need it. What you need is to focus on that which satisfies, that is, focus on your relationship with God and focus on building righteousness into your everyday walk. You will discover, just like Job, that a hedge will be built around you so that that Satan, without your consciously trying to fight him, will have no cause or no occasion to be able to touch you. And that's very important for us to understand, because it says, submit to God and resist the devil. I said resisting the devil is actually through submitting to God. It's not just by getting up and resisting the devil. You don't have the power in yourself as a human being to resist Satan. What you have is a power of righteousness. The Bible says righteousness delivers from death. Are you getting my point? The Bible talks about the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. These are the defensive things against the devil. And these things come by submitting to God, submitting to the will of God, and submitting to the word of God.
Now, that's the thing about accurate knowledge. So, because you can spend all time fighting the person that you don't have power against, not realizing that what took away your power was your lack of righteousness and your lack of work in integrity. Sin, let me say it again. When we discuss sin, it's not just about building a morally sound society. We are saying that sin is poison. Sin weakens a man's ability to succeed. Sin weakens your defense against the enemy. Sin weakens your ability to withstand the devil. Now, listen to what I'm going to say here. Not consciously now, because when you are weakened by sin, that is when Satan has power over you. He said that he that had the power of death, that is the devil, and the wages of sin is death. If you walk in righteousness, Satan doesn't have power over you. That's what I've been trying to explain. Because the power he had before, maybe because of the sins of your past, the sins of the generations before you that has unleashed the power of the enemy into the air around you, those things have been taken away by the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, he nailed those things to the cross. Every handwriting of ordinance that was written against you was nailed to the cross. The sins of your past, they were nailed to the cross. Are you getting my point? And you have become what the Bible calls the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get my point? Jesus shed his blood to wipe away all those things. Therefore, you walk in victory. You walk in triumph. You walk triumphing all the times in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. As long as you walk by faith and you walk in righteousness and you walk in the power of your integrity. Are you getting my point? Now, I read those portions of Job chapter 34 and Job chapter 35 to highlight something to us again. You see, in this African society, we have what I call the who is responsible culture. And that's what I want to break from our minds through this teaching. You know, what I mean is this. Some time ago, a friend of mine, a couple, their friend, is their son died, and she told me later, that is the lady, that the woman came to her and said, I have found out who is responsible for your son's death. It is the other woman living nearby, and that woman is a witch, and we know that she's the one that killed your son. My friend, who happens to be a believer in Christ Jesus and who has understanding of spiritual things, she said she started laughing. This is somebody you have thought would say, are you serious? Come on, what are you going to do? All she did was to laugh. She said she laughed and laughed and laughed and told the woman simply, listen, madam, no witch can kill my child. None. I'm not saying the child is not dead, but no witch can kill my child. Are you getting my point? Because it's one of the problems. I'm going to discuss that again later. How we give Satan power over us. We use our mouth to tell him he has power, and therefore he arrogates to himself power that he does not have because we gave him consent. If you read my book, By Faith Acquire Life, I explain something there. That when you testify against yourself in the courts of God, God has no choice but to rule against you. If you walk into a court and they say guilty or not guilty, and you say guilty, my Lord, even though the evidence is clear that you are not guilty, do you get my point? The chances are that they will rule against you. You will go to jail. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, listen, that's just the way it is in the courts of men, and it's a reflection of what happens in the courts of God. It is so important what to use your mouth to say about yourself. I'll discuss that one later. So my friend just told the woman simply, listen, no witch can kill my child. What she was saying, in effect, is this: all the affairs of my life are between me and my God. I wrote a tract. You can download it free from our website if you cannot get a physical copy of it. It's titled, It is God and I. I emphasize in that tract that the things you find in your life are a result of your relationship with God. Nobody else has power over you. Listen, if God is on your side, nobody can be against you. If people are effectively against you, then know one thing for sure, God is not on your side, or he has stepped back temporarily, like he did in the case of Job. Do you get my point? Therefore, Elihu said to Job, in that book of Job chapter 35, he emphasized to him, he said, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. That is, when people are oppressed, they cry. But he said, they don't say, where is God my maker? That is, yes, we know there are oppressors. Yes, we know there are people who don't like us. Yes, we know there are enemies. He said, but we should say, where is God my maker? That is, if God my maker is on my side, those who don't like me cannot oppress me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I told that this African society, we have this mentality, this who is responsible mentality. I have seen cases of in which students are not doing well, and people say that it is because of one woman in the home that had decided that this child will never do well, and the child is no longer doing well in school. I have seen cases in in which somebody dies suddenly, we all go and find out who is responsible. If somebody's business is not doing well, he goes to find out who is responsible. And it's unfortunate. You know, those days, people used to go to native doctors, what we call DBS and Babalawos, to go and make such inquiries. But in these modern days, they go to prophets. And the prophets, who are actually the same thing, Babalawos wearing what looked like a Christian garment, they do the same thing. They do divination, this time around by prayer and by jumping and by fasting. And at the end of the day, they say the reason why you're having problems, it is because there's a witch living in your house. And what I'm telling you, I have had personal experience with it. Somebody who I knew came to me once. He said, I have found out the reason why I've been having all these problems is because of this particular person, that the prophets have come to pray. And they have said that this is a witch that has been disturbing me. And when I heard it, this was somebody who I knew very well. I knew the way he handled his business. I knew the way truth could not be found in his mouth. I knew all the troubles. Do you get my point? It was somebody that I knew. All right? I knew this fellow never did any. Look, if the fellow tells you good morning, you have to check outside whether it's really morning or it is afternoon or it's peradventure, it is night. Yet the same person came up to me and said the prophets have prayed and said that this particular woman is the witch. And he was telling me this thing and expecting me to believe. The person was much older than me. I didn't know what to say. But in my mind, and I shook my head. That which kind of prophets are those ones that have deceived you? They have not told you that you are a liar. They have not told you that you are a cheat. They have not told you that you're not serious. They have not told you that you cannot do basic business accounting. They have not told you that you eat more than you make. They have not told you that when you owe people, you don't pay them. All they can see is that there's a witch in your house. Listen to me. They have deceived you. Are you getting my point? I couldn't tell this man on the surface. But in the depths of my heart, I wish I could, because I knew the truth. Eli was telling us here that no matter what we face outside, let us first look inwards before we start looking outwards and start trying to blame people. It's an African mentality. Well, at least I know about Nigeria. I don't know maybe the whole of Africa. We always say, who is responsible? If a man is traveling and he has an accident and he dies, we start shouting, who was responsible? Then we will now hear of one church once when some people decided to go and confess and say we were witches. There's a particular spot on the express road where we used to go and gather. Are you getting me? And then we'll go and suck blood from there, and we'll make all the cars tumble, and then we'll now suck the blood of the victims. Pastor Banker, are you saying these things don't happen? Really, I don't know, and I really don't care. Now, because this is very, very unimportant. You go and check that portion of the road, the contractor that worked on it last time refused to repair properly. Go and check the person whose blood was sucked. He was traveling at 175 kilometers an hour without a seat belt. Are you following what I'm going to explain? Am I saying there are no witches? Listen, my friend, forget that one. It's absolutely besides the point. If you wear a seatbelt and do 100 kilometers an hour, which is the national speed limit, maybe we'll now discuss whether there are witches who desire to kill you. But I find it very hard, or are you getting me, to consider the matter of witches when you were going at 170 kilometers an hour on a road that you know is bad and it is getting late and you're not wearing a seatbelt. And finally, when your car crashes and you die, they now tell me it's a witch. Are you getting my point? It's an African stupid mentality. We don't ever blame ourselves for anything. If I invest money and it goes bad, I don't ask myself, what is the greed that drove me there? Many people lost woefully in this Nigerian stock market. They knew nothing about stock business. They didn't read about stock business. Are you getting me? Somebody just told them, look, sir, this is a quick way to make money. And then he liquidates his business, raises a few million naira, and pumps into the stock market. Currently, the thing is not worth up to a million naira. Then he starts suffering. They say, what is the problem? It's because his auntie in the village is a witch. And she has said the young man would never do well. The young man doesn't ask, what was the greed that drove me into the market? Maybe the witch is a greed. Maybe that witch put greed into his head. Maybe that is the point. But that the woman went and sat down over his business, I don't believe it. What am I going to explain? That where is God my maker? How am I relating? Eli was teaching Job here, let's stop looking outwards, let's start looking inward first. Because like Jesus said, wash the inside of the cup and the outside will be clean also. What we are trying to do is to wash the outside of the cup, hoping that in the process, the inside will be clean. We're washing the outside of the cup, we're not looking at the condition of the inside of the cup. But Jesus said that once you wash the inside of the cup, then the outside will be clean also. What he's saying is that if the enemy within, are you getting my point, does not kill me, then the enemy outside cannot kill me. Now, what do I mean by the enemy within? What is my relationship with God? How am I handling it? And it's very funny. You see people say, the reason why my son has not been able to gain admission is because some witch said he will never gain admission. Go and check it. The boy doesn't read his book and does not listen to his parents. The man who has not been able to flog his son when he was a child into obedience is now blaming a witch now, who is not allowing the boy to gain admission. I call this the African man's mentality. All we say is who is responsible. We don't find out what is responsible. Most of the problems in our lives, they are caused by what, not by who. What do I mean by what? He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. A lot of people who say nobody likes them, they are very lazy. They don't know how to work hard. He said, a little sleep and a little slumber. So shall your poverty come, and your want like an armed man. That is, the man is saying, who is the reason why I'm poor? But God said, what is your problem? Your problem is laziness. Too much sleep. Your problem is that you are eating more than you are earning. Your problem is that you don't know how to manage what you have. Your problem is that you don't know how to sow seeds that will bear fruit for you. That everything that comes into your hand for you, it is food. There is no seed in it. What is your problem? God is saying, and he said, forget the who. The only who that's in your life is one, you, and two, most importantly, God. Please read that tract. It is God and I. Look, that's what the whole of life is. The relationship between you and God. You know, I said something that the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Please, I need to explain this to us properly. Am I saying that there's no Satan? I never said so. Am I saying there's no devil or there are no witches? I never said any of those things. What I said is that they are unimportant if my relationship with God is strong. And consequently, if my what's in my life, that is the what in my life, if they are strong, they are not important. Oh, the witches are not allowing to be promoted. The man saying it has 5 queries in his file. He does not go to work on time. And those queries are not unjustified. He doesn't go to work on time. His appraiser, fair appraiser, is always very poor. Are you getting my point? The Bible says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He said he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Yeah, here we are. We find a man who is not diligent in his business, who is not serious about the work he's doing, saying it is because of the enemy. That is why I'm not standing before kings, and I'm standing only before men of obscurity. Do you get my point? He's not looking inward. He's looking only outward. And Jesus said, wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. Please, I need to get this very clear to us. I hope you have understood what I've said so far. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Believe me, this who is responsible mentality is the reason why in the African society we have not progressed so much. Because if there is a calamity, we never try to see what we can do about it. We only look up to the gods, you know my point, to appease the angry gods with sacrifices. Now listen to me, I'm a Christian and I believe in spiritual things. And you've heard me say it before, if you've listened to me long enough, that I said by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. What I want to emphasize, I said, listen, this is where I said this whole thing from. That there's a redemption in Christ Jesus. And that when Jesus has redeemed people, what they need to do is to cooperate with that redemption to see results in their life. But that oftentimes they go and believe lies. That the excuse they find, and see, it's a ready excuse. Because you watch home movies, it is there. You hear stories, it is there. You go to funny churches, they tell you that this man never made progress. We don't know that his progress was being cooked at home. Listen to me, anyone who wants to cook my progress in a faraway village will only find himself caught on fire. That is all. Because my progress is with God and with God alone. Are you getting my point? So people who God has redeemed are believing lies. Listen to me. Any witch that has power over you, any Satan that has power over you, any devil that has power over you has something in you. Please get my point. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Now, what that means is that Satan cannot just afflict me anyhow because he does not have anything. But many of us who want to fight and blame the devil, Satan has many things in us. He has laziness in us. There are times the spirit of poverty goes up to the courts of God and begins to plead poverty in somebody's life. I say, God, this man has to be poor. God, this man has to be poor. And God says, why should he be poor? And the spirit says, see, he never works. He's an unreliable person.
If you tell somebody, I'll pay you in 2 days, he pays in 2 years. If he says, I'll finish your job in 1 week, he finishes in 6 weeks. This is a man who is not serious. Every time they are doing party, he's there. Every Friday, he has a burial to go to. And every Saturday, there is a wedding. And on Mondays, there is a naming ceremony. And on Wednesdays, there is a remembrance ceremony. He's hardly found in his place of assignment. And that demon of poverty keeps pleading that case. And eventually, he becomes poor. Are you getting my point? You now say that, hey, I thought you said there's no evil spirit. I didn't say that. I said the evil spirit used something in him to plead against him. Are you getting my point? If such a one who has been redeemed in God will rise up and face his business, then the blessing of God shall be upon him. Are you getting my point? Listen to one of the things that God told the children of Israel. He said, see, I have given you the land of Sihon and this and this and this and person. Say, now begin to contend with them in battle. Now get my point. God said, I have given you, but he said, now begin to contend. And when we're talking about contending battle, he expected these people to get up, arm themselves, and walk into battle. What am I saying? God has given you prosperity. He says, now begin to contend with the environment that's holding back prosperity and take it from him. How do you contend? You wake up in the morning and face your business. You prophesy over your day, saying, the name of Jesus, it is well with me today. Today, favor follows me. And you get up and face your business. You don't do a half-baked job and tell people, manage it. He said, no, if it is not satisfactory, I will never let any of my customers have it. Because I have discovered that the scripture says that it's diligence and skill in my work that will make me stand before kings and not stand only before obscure men. That's how you contend with that enemy. You don't go to church and go and pray, God, who are those who are against me? Frustrate them. Listen to me. Those who are against you, if you walk in righteousness, are already frustrated. Because Jesus died on the cross to remove every hindrance in your life. People say that, my great-grandfather, he did one sacrifice. That is why all we, the children, have been like this. Listen to me, that was then. The day you, except you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm preaching. You see, some people tell me, are you a motivational speaker? I said, nonsense. I am not a motivational speaker. I preach the truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why this program is always introduced like that. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Maybe that's a confusion sometimes. Because I'm preaching the message of the kingdom of God. I am saying if you have stepped into God's kingdom, yes, the enemy has no power over you. The power of death, which Satan wields against people, it only becomes effective when they walk in sin and when they walk in iniquity. Because Jesus indeed has redeemed them. Are you getting my point? There was something I said last time. Let me just say it again. And then we'll close with it. You remember that in that book of Luke chapter 10, when the disciples came back, they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw all kinds of miracles occurring, that even demons were subject to us when we spoke in your name. And Jesus said, you know why this thing was able to happen like that? Because I was beholding Satan fall like lightning. And like I said, this is my job as a preacher. I am saying to everyone out there who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, behold your God. He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. What am I saying? Behold the Satan that has fallen down also. Behold him fall down. Please, I want you to keep these things before your eyes every time. Knowing that as a matter of fact, you know, I say something, you can have something and not know it, or you can think you have something and not have it. But listen to this, according to the scriptures, you have deliverance in Christ Jesus, you have power over the enemy. The Bible says that he raised us up with Christ Jesus, and he sat us down on together with him on the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers, and every name that is named, that every name on earth is subject to the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And if indeed you have believed in him, you know, I was saying that, you see, that I am not a motivational speaker. What I am saying applies to only those who have believed in the Lord Jesus. Let me say it clearly again. Christianity is not about the church you go to. We are declaring that you must believe so that you can be saved. Let me tell you something about salvation again. Some people come and say, you know, Christians will preach as if we are begging people to please, you know, come to our church and increase our number. For some of us, the sign of evangelism is that our number is growing. But you see, let me tell you something. I don't believe really in that, because really that's not the way it is. Those days, Peter will preach, and the people will say, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Because, and you know what that means? The word saved, you see, it doesn't mean I now go to church. It means I have been delivered from the power of the enemy. Are you getting my point? A lot of people have sold themselves up to Satan. Some were sold to the devil even before they were born, and they have continued life in slavery to that enemy they've been sold to. This is what it means to be saved, that you have been delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus from that bondage that you were in. So they will come to Peter, what must we do to be saved? And Peter will say to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Like Paul will say, you and your household. What it means is that you will be delivered from the oppression of this Satan. Are you getting my point? And listen to me, please. I need to emphasize that. Because when we talk like this, some people will say that, look, maybe you have not seen what the devil can do. Listen to me. There are people who are being oppressed by the devil every day. There are businesses that the devil is collapsing, even though the man does everything that is right. I know. What am I saying, however? I am saying that if you are a believer, that's what it means to be saved. It's not to go to church. What it means to be saved is to say, Jesus, have mercy upon me. I commit my life to you. Take over my life. From now on, I want to follow you. Your word will be my standard. Take my life. I want to live a new life for you. That's what it means to give your life to Christ and become converted. And that is the door of salvation. And I'm saying that if you have not done that, that is why Satan has been knocking your head around. And listen, once you have not done that, no matter how much you pray against him, he will go away for a while and he will be back tomorrow. You can go to a prophet who has power and he drives him away. The devil will just stay outside and say, Shebi, you will soon come out. Are you going to live in that prophet's house forever? Are you getting my point? As soon as you come back out, he jumps on you again. But I'm telling you about enduring salvation, enduring deliverance. That if you become, all right, the child of God through faith in Christ Jesus, if you forsake your former ways and begin to walk closely with God through his word, by listening to the teachings of his word and forsaking the standards of your society, of your own previous mentality, and learning the new word that is in Christ Jesus, then that is deliverance for you, and Satan will never ever have power over you. You say, Pastor Banky, but I have believed and I have walked in righteousness. But Satan was still afflicting me. That's what I preached again. I said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It is because you do not raise your shoulder and straighten up. Because you do not look the devil and the problems of life in the face and say, I am a redeemed. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Until you say so, you probably will not experience the power of redemption. And that's what I'm preaching. Know something. You have been delivered. If you know it, then most certainly the power will be manifested in your life. Because Jesus said, I knew it. I saw Satan fall. Therefore, you began to see results when I sent you out in ministry. And I'm telling you, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have passed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear son, that is God's dear son, in whom you have redemption by the forgiveness of sins. You have been redeemed. You are not a slave anymore. They may call you an outcast. I'm declaring to you that if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you are not an outcast. You are a precious possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world will see the manifestation of God's glory upon your head. That's what I'm preaching. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So declare that I'm redeemed in the name of Jesus. I am not a poor person in the name of Jesus. I am not afflicted in the name of Jesus. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Put your hand upon where that sickness is and say, sickness, hear ye the word of the Lord. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I command you in the name of Jesus out of my life. Don't nurse it. Don't say, this is my rheumatism. The rheumatism is not your own. Don't say, this is my migraine. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have it. But if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, don't say, this is my migraine. It is not your own. This is my problem. No, you don't have problems. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. Are you getting my point? I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I know there are problems everywhere. I walk through them, but I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's what they are saying that we should manifest their redemption. Next time I'll talk about it. Because I said I would do that. I couldn't get into it today. How we use our tongue to give Satan power over us. He said, as I have heard you say in my ears, so I shall do to you. That was what God said. Listen, my friends, we have redemption in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not die to give us a baptism name. No. Jesus died to redeem us. Please read that book, By Faith Acquire Life. I have acknowledged again and again that I know that there are people that were born into problems. because the ancestors bought into the power of the enemy. But I'm saying that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is deliverance you have believed in. And it must manifest in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Listen, what you say is what decides where you are abiding. Focus on God. Focus on truth. Focus on the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And Satan will dissolve into oblivion. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.